Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46. I want to remind you that in last week's lesson, we saw how Joseph's brothers went back from Egypt, and they did not go back with the same luggage that they went down to Egypt with. Now they're coming back with these Egyptian wagons, these kingly wagons sent from the hand of Pharaoh himself, filled with the treasures of Egypt and giving evidence of that their story was indeed true, that Joseph was ruler over all the land of Egypt. And as they came and saw Jacob, their father, they told him the news, and he was at first filled with disbelief, as I'm sure all of us would be too. And then when he saw those wagons, his spirit revived, and they mounted up together, and all the family is going down toward Egypt. And they stop, we noticed last week, they stop at the southern tip of Canaan, at the southern tip of the Promised Land in Beersheba. They all stopped, and Jacob said, it's time to stop and just thank the Lord. They offered sacrifices unto God. And he understood that every good thing that was about to take place was just because of the blessing of God in his life. And it was a precious thing to think about this old man getting down and on his face and thanking the Lord. When he did that, God gave him a vision, and he let him know very clearly that he would see Joseph, and he would touch him, and he would indeed make it to Egypt and have the opportunity to be reunited with his son. And that's what we read of this week in Lesson 10. We've entitled it, The Precious Moments in Life. And certainly as we read this, it's one of the most precious, if not the most precious moment in the life of Joseph, and one of the most precious in the entire Word of God. I want you to notice, if you would please, in Genesis chapter 46 and verse 27, the Bible says, and the sons of Joseph, which were born unto him in Egypt, were two souls, and all the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. That's 70. And here this family is moving in, all Jacob and all of his sons and all of his grandchildren, and they're moving in, they're coming down to Egypt, all 70 of them. And this would form, of course, this is the nucleus from which God would build the nation of Israel, through whom he would send the Messiah. So this is going to become a mighty nation, and God records that to us here. Then look at verse 28 at the scene as it unfolds. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren in my father's house, which are in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. They have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers. That ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now, I want you to mark in your Bible back in verse 29. As this scene unfolds, the Bible says that Joseph made ready his chariot. He went up to Israel to meet his father there. And the Bible says he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Now, remember throughout our story, as we've been building this up, Joseph all along has been interested in the well-being of his dad. Remember early on when we first started it, we introduced Joseph in the Bible as a 17-year-old who was the most favored of all the sons. Do you think he had a special relationship with his father? Sure he did. He really loved his dad. And then he was unexpectedly separated from him. Now it's been over a quarter of a century, over 25 years since he's seen his father. And in fact, when he first met those brothers, he kept asking again and again about his dad. Thumb back, if you would, please. Look at chapter 43 and verse 27. Remember when he first met these brothers and they didn't recognize him, but he knew them? The Bible says in chapter 43 and verse 27, and he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive? He's not yet revealing who he is, but he says that the father you were talking of, that old man, is he still alive? Is he doing well? Then look at chapter 45. Look at verse 3, if you would. He said, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? First thing on his mind, first thing on his heart is, I want to know about my daddy. I want to know how he's doing. In fact, look down at verse 9 of chapter 45. It says, haste ye, as Joseph speaks to his brothers, haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. He wanted to see his daddy just as quickly as possible. In fact, look at verse 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. You see, everything that we've read so far in Joseph's life, we understand that he's always been thinking of his dad. I imagine that for those 2 years plus in prison, he's thinking, will I ever get out of here? Will I ever be reunited with my family and see my dad again? I imagine in all the trek down to Egypt with the Midianite merchant men, he was just thinking, I can't believe I'm being separated from my dad. And now 25 years plus later, finally, Judah runs forward in front of these 70. He finds Joseph. Joseph prepares himself. You could just imagine how you'd want to be prepared if you hadn't seen your dad in this length of time. And Joseph, I'm sure, put on the best that he had. I'm sure he wanted to. He wondered in his mind, how will my father look? How much older will he look? Will anything be different between us? I was always the well-favored son. He hasn't spoken to him. I'm sure Jacob wondered, how will Joseph look? He's much older now. I haven't seen him since he was 17. And all these emotions were running high. And the Bible says that he presented himself unto his father, and then he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. As far as we know, they didn't say a word. There was no word to be said. Joseph just embraced his daddy, and he fell on his neck, and he just wept on his neck for a good while. It kind of sounds like a southerner wrote this portion of Scripture, doesn't it? Just a good while. I don't know how long that was, but just for a good while, he just wept on the neck of his daddy. He was just so glad to see him. And what we witness in Scripture here is just a very precious moment in the life of Joseph, and a very precious moment recorded in Scripture. And you know what this should cause us to do? It should cause us to think of the precious moments that God gives us in life. Here's how we can apply this scene as we continue in the story this week. First of all, we can learn from this that we should never forget all the good among the bad. You know, Joseph and Jacob both, you see these two men, one older and one kind of in the prime of life as far as age is concerned, and they meet together and they've so longed to see one another. These are two men who did not have an easy road in life. You study the life of Jacob. He was on the run half his life. You study the life of Joseph. We have been. We've seen all the adversity that he faced. These men did not have an easy road in life, but God extended their lives. God gave them this opportunity to have such a precious moment together. In fact, he's going to give them many years together here in the land of Egypt, enjoying one another's company, knowing one another's presence once again, and the fellowship once again. God's going to do something wonderful for them. And you think about these men. They didn't have easy things to deal with in life, but this God gave them this very precious moment. And what we can learn from this is this. We need to look at our lives and see all the blessings, all the wonderful things that God has done for us. You know, it's sad to say that people sometimes get in a ditch of despair and discouragement, and all they can see for some reason is just all the bad in life. And friends, there's always going to be bad. This is an imperfect world. But there are always very precious things that God does for us, and we need to cast our eyes on the Lord and see the wonderful things that he's done for us. You know what James chapter 1 and verse 17 says? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And you know what? God has blessed every one of us, hasn't he? And we have so very much to be thankful for. Think of the day you got saved. That's a good thing to dwell upon, isn't it? Think of the day, gentlemen, that you met your wife. That's a good thing to dwell upon, isn't it? Think of the day that God worked in your heart in a special way. Think of the day that God answered a prayer. Think of a childhood memory and some precious moments that God has given you. You know, you can choose to live your life dwelling on the bad, or you can choose to live your life dwelling on the blessings of God. And I think we need to live the latter way, dwelling on the blessings of God and seeing what God has done for us. I want you to notice the second thing that we can see in this story, not only that we should see the good and not the bad, but secondly, that we should learn to honor our parents. Here's a man, he's not a young man anymore, but here he is honoring his father. You know, that's the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. In fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then in verse 2 it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, there's a difference in obeying and honoring. Obedience is the action, but honoring is an attitude. And even if we're outside of a home and outside of immediate command and obey type situation with our parents, we never escape the obligation to honor our parents. And Joseph had a right attitude toward his dad. I want you to know something. His dad was not a perfect dad. He married three women. I don't think he was perfect, right? That wasn't necessarily God's outline for his life, but he did it. He had a lot of other faults. He had a lot of other failures. But Joseph just loved his daddy, and he honored his dad. He gave him the due respect that he deserved just because he was his father. And we can learn from this that we ought to honor our parents. And if you're teaching teenagers this week, I'd especially encourage you to emphasize to them that they need to honor their parents. You know, the training ground for all of life is in the home. And when young people learn how to honor their parents, well, then they can show honor and respect to everyone else in authority that's due that honor in their lives. When they don't learn that, there's big problems, right? So we need to learn to honor our parents. And I want you to notice the last thing that we can learn just by way of application from this little story is that we must do what we can while we can. I got news for you. Joseph longed for the day, and he prayed, and he just prayed and sought God. Lord, if you just give me an opportunity to speak to my daddy, to hug on my daddy, to weep on the neck of my daddy, I'll express my love for him. In fact, look what Joseph does here. We read the story. He invites him to come to all the land of Goshen. Joseph has been given something so he can give it to his family. He understands that God's blessed him so that he can do something with that in the here and now to be a blessing to his dad. And that's exactly what he did. In fact, not a blessing only to his dad, but to all of his loved ones. And we have to understand this, that if we have been blessed by the Lord, then God's done that for us so that while we have time and while we have opportunity, we can be a blessing to those that we know and love. You know, there'll come a day when either you're not here to do what you desire to do and say what you desire to say, or either those loved ones won't be here for you to do those things for them or to say those things to them. While we have the opportunity, while we have the time, we need to do what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to do what we can to thank God for his blessings, to honor those in our lives that deserve the honor that God says they deserve, and to express our love and express our appreciation and be a blessing and be a help and be an encouragement in the name of the Lord Jesus to try to be a help to other people. These are precious moments in life that God's giving us, I believe, in our church right now. God's given me precious moments in my family right now. Now let's take those things and give God the glory for it and be a blessing and help to other people in the midst of it.